The following is a pre-recorded show. Welcome to Winning in Retirement with your host, Brian Akers, certified financial planner professional and founder of Akers Financial Group. Now, helping you win in your retirement, here's Brian Akers.
Hello, I'm Brian Akers from Akers Financial Group, president and founder of actually of Akers Financial Group. Here with me today is Ashley Rout. How are you doing today, Ashley?
I'm doing very well, Brian. How are you?
Very good. Ashley's an attorney with Bress Rout Law in Bel Air, Maryland. She's been practicing for quite a few years now, right, Ashley?
Yes, about 6 years. And I've been doing this for even longer because I was a paralegal before I became a lawyer.
So you work as an attorney, and what are your specialties?
So I specialize in estate planning, probate and trust administration, elder care law, and I do all types of family law.
And in your extra spare time, you're a professor also?
Yes. I teach two classes per semester at Stevenson University, where I attended undergrad.
And you've been doing that for a few years?
For about 4 years now, yes.
Right. So you teach, what level do you teach there?
I teach, every year I teach advanced estate administration courses, but I also teach the first year estates and trusts for first semester freshmen. And then I also teach, my second course is usually an upper level elective for pre-law students that are getting their pre-law undergrad degree.
That's awesome, because we invited Ashley today to have a talk with us about estate planning, which everyone loves to do. Estate planning 101 is what we're going to call our show today. So Ashley, I know you have all this experience and you've taught many people how to do it. So what we got to do is try to explain to people who are just listening, driving their car. So we got to keep it as simple as possible for them. Is that even possible with estate planning?
I can do the best that I can.
All right.
Yeah, I think it's achievable.
All right. So the hardest part for me is most people come in to see a financial advisor like myself, and they have never done anything. They don't have wills, power of attorneys, or anything. They don't even understand the word estate. How would you go about explaining the need for an estate plan?
Yeah, so everyone needs an estate plan, no matter how old you are. So, you know, it gets increasingly more important as you get older. However, when you're young, you need an estate plan just for the simple premise of, you know, you start purchasing a house, you have a bank account, you know, you need your parents to be able to make medical decisions for you if you were to get in a car accident. You need someone to be able to pay your bills if you go into the hospital so that your credit doesn't go down the tubes. Then, you know, you start to have kids, and then you need to appoint a guardian to take care of your kids. Then you start to accumulate wealth, and then we need to think about, okay, how is that best to be passed to the next generation? Should it be in a trust? Should the person get just a check. Then we go into more of, okay, now you have kids and your kids have kids and now you have grandkids, and we need to think about how do we want to maintain that wealth for the future. And we also need to think about whether or not the person needs to, you know, get their long-term care paid for. So whether that looks like long-term care insurance or planning to go into a nursing home, and how to shelter those assets for the next generation.
So it's like one of the first responsible things we should actually be doing is getting some version of an estate plan as we get started.
Yes. And so my clients range from anywhere between 18 to 105.
Oh, you got a 105-year-old?
Yes.
The oldest client I've ever worked with was 107. So I thought it's good to top you like that.
Yeah, that is good. That's pretty remarkable.
Yeah, she was. She could actually write poetry till the year she passed away. It's pretty amazing.
That is crazy.
All right, so let's say someone doesn't do it. They don't have an estate plan, they don't have a will, and they suddenly pass away. Is there a plan already written up for them?
So what happens is that your assets, if you pass away without a will, which means that you passed away intestate, that means that your assets, everything in your individual name, mm-hmm. so solely titled without a beneficiary designation, will go through the probate process with the Register of Wills here in Maryland, depending on what county you live in. And so that will go pursuant to Maryland state law. So if you're married and you don't have children, everything's going to go to your spouse. If you're married and you do have children, 50% is going to go to your spouse, but 50% is going to go to your kids. And a lot of people don't realize that. And then it gets more and more complex. If we don't have a spouse, we don't have kids, goes up to the parents. If the parents aren't alive, you're going to go to your siblings. And then we start going diagonal in the family tree, which triggers inheritance tax.
All right. So if you're married and you have brothers and sisters and parents still alive, it doesn't go to them. It goes to your spouse automatically.
Correct.
But that's through the probate process.
Correct.
What is probate?
So probate is a court process in which you file documents to open an estate. A personal representative is appointed, and that is the person that's going to be in charge of collecting all of the assets and kind of putting them in a bucket and making sure that your assets are distributed either pursuant to your will, if you have one, or pursuant to Maryland state law for when someone passes away without a will.
All right. So you're licensed in Maryland or any other state?
I am also barred in D.C.
Okay, barred's a good word.
Yes.
Okay, not you allowed to practice.
I'm allowed to practice in D.C. Okay. I'm not banned from practicing in D.C.
Okay.
Misconception about that word. My fault.
So our radio show is on our website at acresfinancialgroup.com under the radio tab. You can listen to shows like this. We want you to be winning in retirement. Part of the winning in retirement is to have your financial planning fully completed, fully done. You need to plan as if you might pass away tomorrow. And that's why we want to talk about estate planning. Estate planning, you need to have certain things in place. Right now, we're talking to Ashley Rout about this, and estate planning 101 is just some basic ideas and things that you need to make sure you have done. So we're talking about probate currently, and that's basically the transfer of title from you to someone else. And typically what happens when you pass away is you want what you have to go to certain people. That doesn't always happen if you don't have the plan in full effect. So what do people need to do to try to work with you to try to develop a plan?
So what I typically do is either a client calls me or emails me, and I send them two sheets of paper. I either send it via email or via regular mail. It's just one-sided, so we make it very simple. One sheet is just an asset worksheet so that I can tell what their general assets are and how they're titled. The other one is just more of a questionnaire so that we can get spelling of names right and get their wheels turning about the questions that we're going to ask. Who should be in charge of your medical decisions? Who should be in charge of your finances? And where do you want ultimately your assets to go upon your death? And so that gets sent to the client. We schedule a consultation via either in our Bel Air office or via Zoom. Sometimes I go to the client's home, especially with our elderly clients. That happens often. And then they come in. We have about an hour to an hour and a half conversation. I draft the documents. I send them to the client. They review them. We make any changes, answer any questions, and then they come in and they sign their documents.
Sounds simple.
It is pretty simple.
But it's, I don't feel people think it's simple, though.
It's intimidating to talk about what happens when someone passes away. You know, it's hard to talk about coming to terms with the fact that you will pass away. And so a lot of people, that's the biggest struggle that I see, is people not wanting to talk about it. But they really do their family a disservice when they don't have the documents in place, because it oftentimes creates a mess where people are fighting over assets, or there are multiple people that qualify to serve as the personal representative. And because they don't have a will, then we have to have a hearing about who's going to serve.
Right.
And it costs more money. So, yeah, I mean, it is simple, but, you know, we try to make it as simple and as easy as possible because we do this every day. So we know what questions to ask and we know how to help clients through the difficult subjects of deciding who to name and where everything should go. And we really just tell the clients all the options and then we advise what's best, in our opinion, and what's most cost efficient for them.
Yes, I know with Acres Financial Group, what we do is we sit down and do financial planning. As part of that plan, we bring an attorney in and then we prepare some of the information for the meeting. And so what happens when we work together is that we prepare some financial listing of who the beneficiaries are, where the assets are, and if they're retirement or not retirement. And then we have the client fill out that other part of your questionnaire about who they want money to go to, when they want to receive it. Those are all huge decisions we're going to talk about as we continue through the show. All right, so basically when it comes down to working through this estate plan, people are going to list out name by name who's in charge, such as who's the executor and who's their power of attorney. What's the best way for someone to decide how to do this?
Yeah, so it really is difficult to make these decisions, and it's very dependent on the client's family circumstances. Most often I see the spouse be appointed as all those things first,
right.
And then, you know, sometimes they pick, clients pick the eldest of their children to act. Sometimes they already know that maybe their children aren't the most fiscally responsible, so they pick a sibling of their own or an attorney or their accountant or someone else that has a fiduciary duty that's a little bit higher than those in their family because they're a professional and they have their license at stake, so that they have to make, you know, very financially sound decisions.
Yeah, I think those choices, those decisions on who's going to be in charge of your estate after you're not there to do it yourself are extremely important. I know with younger families having children, the guardian choice is one of the biggest out there. Now, today we're talking with Ashley Rout from Fresh Rout Law about Estate Planning 101. This is very important. We're talking about winning in retirement. Winning in your retirement years is having a plan in case things don't go well. Make sure you're doing the right thing for your family by having your proper plan done. At Acres Financial Group, we're local. We're independent. We don't report to a big company on Wall Street. We report to you. We do have offices in Lutherville and Forestville and clients all around the Maryland and all around the country. It's so easy to begin winning in retirement. You just give us a call and schedule your free meeting with one of our team of advisors by calling 833-WIN-RETIRE. That's 833-WINRETIRE. We'll give you a call on Monday to schedule your free in-person or Zoom meeting. Go to acresfinancialgroup.com or call us at 833-946-7384 to start planning for your retirement now. Where there is a will, there's a way. We'll talk about this when we come back.
You're listening to a pre-recorded show. Welcome back to Winning in Retirement. Call 833-WIN-RETIRE now to schedule a visit with Brian and his team and begin winning in retirement. Once again, here's Brian Akers.
Hello, I'm Brian Akers. Welcome back to Winning in Retirement. Today I have a special guest with me. That's Ashley Rout, an exceptional attorney with Breast Rout Law in Bel Air, Maryland. Ashley has been practicing for quite a few years in the areas of estate planning, probate, trust administration, wealth reservation, elder law, family law, and a few more things. She does a lot of stuff. So she also, in her spare time, is a professor at Stevenson University. So highly qualified and really knows what she's talking about. And that's why we have her here on Winning in Retirement. Ashley, are you awake?
Yes.
That was a long talk about you. Are you okay? Are you okay with that?
Yeah.
I do appreciate you coming in and talking with our listening people and our clients. We're doing a doubleheader today at Acres Financial. We have in-house events with our current clients. They come. I'm actually speaking at lunch and dinner for that too today. So you got to really be ready to speak a lot.
I have a triple header today, radio show, lunch, and dinner.
Yeah, and then collapse after that.
Yeah.
All right, so today's show is called Estate Planning 101. So understanding why you need estate planning, and then what are some of the basic things you need to prepare to get ready, and then what are you going to be doing in those meetings, and what kind of decisions? Now, the hardest part is understanding that you need to do it. If you can breathe, you need to have an estate plan. You need to have wills. You need to have power of attorneys. All these different pieces of a properly drawn estate plan are extremely important. In this quarter, we're covering the first question, which is called, where there is a will, there is a way. Now, I'm being dumb with my little saying, of course, but does everyone need a will, or is there other options, or is a will sort of the best way to get started?
The will is the best way to get started. I mean, there are certain times where you can, depending on your assets, you can, you know, just have beneficiary designations. However, I will say that your average American owns a house, has a car, has stuff that they've accumulated throughout their life, and they have a checking and savings and a retirement. And so, you know, for a house, that's going to end up going through your probate process. And so it's very important to have a will. That's really the catch-all fail-safe of anything that ends up in your individual name without a beneficiary designation when you pass away. So it's very important to have a will.
So I usually explain will as its instructions for probate.
Correct.
So a will, is only things that go through probate does a will have governance over? Is
correct.
That a basic way to say it?
Correct. So your will only has governance over individual assets that are individually owned without a beneficiary designation. So this wouldn't include something that you jointly own with someone else.
Sure.
Or a revocable trust, which we might talk about later in this segment.
Sure.
But, you know, another thing that people do not, you know, think about is that if you have your will and it may be dated, it's important to determine where your original will is. You know, us estate attorneys, we can't open your estate unless we have the original signed will. So if you don't know where your original signed will is, that's a problem. And I can tell you that I've had one estate where this was very difficult because we could not find the original signed will. And dad wanted to give everything to a charity and not to his kids. Mm-hmm. So in order to get a copy of the will probated, the kids, who are the heirs at law, actually have to sign a consent. Well, the kids don't have any gain by signing this consent to accept a copy because they're not getting anything. And if they can't find the original will, then the charity's out.
Right.
And the kids get everything. But that's not what dad wanted. So it's important that you have your original will or you know where it's located. Some people keep it at the register of wills. It's $5 for the register to keep it for safekeeping. Some people keep it in their safe deposit box. Some people keep it at home in a safe place. But you need to know where your original will is. If you cannot find your original will or you don't know where it ended up, then you need to get your estate plan reevaluated and looked at.
All right, so the original will would be signed and then witnessed. It's right. Just not blank, doesn't say draft on it. It has to have all those pieces.
Right, and it's not a photocopy. So usually we use blue ink, and that's how we tell.
Now, where do you recommend that people keep their will?
So I usually recommend that they either keep it at the register of wills and pay the $5 because we know that it's there. The other place is that you keep it at home. But I do not recommend that you keep it in a safe deposit box. I've had very weird things happen with that.
Sure.
You have to make sure that the person that needs to get the will to open your estate knows where the key is on the box, has signatory on the box. If they don't, then we have to get the register to come out and drill the box, and they are not very happy with having to do that.
All right, so the best thing you do for your family is get a will done and then have it stored in the right spot. Typically, at the register of will in the county that you're a resident of is where it needs to be, and if you move, you need to change it.
Correct.
Is that easy thing to do?
Yes. You can either go into the register of wills office and have them, you know, send it to the next county,
sure,
or you can write them a letter. You have to include a copy of your driver's license so that they know who you are, who you say that you are, and they may call and confirm that you are who you say that you are before they send it.
Now, so a will, what does it say? What's typically an outline of a will?
So the first thing is it tells, you know, who you are, where you live. Then it goes into what you want to have for your funeral arrangements. Now, we don't have to be very specific with that. We just need to put into your will that your estate, meaning all the assets that are in your individual name without any beneficiary designations, that your estate is allowed to pay your funeral expenses. If we do not have that provision in your will, then it's going to cost more money because your personal representative is going to have to petition the court for approval of payment of your funeral expenses. Then we go into your tangible personal property, how that should be disposed of. And then we have something called a residuary estate, which is everything else besides tangible personal property and how that gets, you know, distributed. And wills come in two forms, either simple or complex. Simple is that cash is just being distributed to your beneficiaries under your will. A complex is where your beneficiaries actually are receiving their inheritance in a trust. And that is becoming more and more common today because it offers a lot of protection.
And those trusts are basically when you're giving it to them, but then someone's going to be in charge of the money.
Correct. And so it can be the child, or it can be someone else with the child, or it can be, you know, someone else entirely. But what that trust does is it protects in the event that, and I'm just using child, it can be anyone,
right.
But in case your child gets divorced, you know, spouse can't touch that trust. If child becomes disabled, long-term care can't come and get it.
Right.
Child gets sued, can't, any creditors can't come get it. Bankruptcy can't come get it.
Mm-hmm.
And if your child or whoever the trust is for the benefit of has a professional liability tied with their profession, such as, you know, doctors, lawyers, CPAs, things like that, it's protected against malpractice claims.
Okay. So it sounds to me like if you have a child, or if you have a special needs child, or a situation where you need to provide protection against liability, you shouldn't just do a beneficiary. You should make things come through a will or somehow get to this kind of trust.
Correct. And we can actually, once you do the will, we can update your beneficiary designation so that your accounts pay directly to the trust under your will upon your death,
right.
Which is very convenient.
I use the word tangible property. Tangible, I don't know what that means.
So that's all the stuff that you can pick up and put down.
Okay.
And, you know, for estate planning attorneys and estate administration attorneys, those tangible personal property is the stuff of our nightmares.
Yeah.
So people fight a lot about stuff.
Okay. Well, how about my like digital stuff, my non-tangible? Is there a new category for digital now for wills?
It falls into the residuary estate, but I can tell you that estate administration has changed very much because of the digital world that we're living in. In that, when I first started, when I was 18, as a paralegal, the personal representative would bring in a box full of paper of all of the decedent's assets, financial statements, account,
right.
Whatever. And now we're having to get into the person's computer and figure out the passwords and stuff. So it's really important that if you are a person that does online banking and everything online, that you have an up-to-date username and password information, because otherwise it's very hard for us to determine what your assets are, short of, you know, contacting your CPA and getting a copy of your tax return.
Yeah, I wonder about the idea of like a bank account or a credit card. When you're trying to log into the account, how can you reset it after a person dies?
So most of the time you can't.
Okay.
Because the account gets frozen as soon as Social Security finds out.
Sure.
So a lot of people that are obtaining Social Security benefits, once they attain the age that they're able to, what happens is that the account gets frozen because Social Security gets notified by the funeral home that the person is deceased. And so sometimes that triggers an online block. And so it's very difficult. And usually with those accounts, we just have to write into the financial institution or call them and provide the death certificate and the letters of administration, and we quickly liquidate the account so that the estate has money to pay the bills for the house or for whatever, you know, outstanding bills, so that we can get the house up for sale or the car for sale or whatever it is.
Right. So the whole process of the estate, of transferring assets from you to your beneficiary, can go through a will or directly through a beneficiary. Through the will gives you the ability to set up trusts like this. Are they called testamentary trust or
yes,
something,
very
or something
good.
Simple? I can't even say the word anymore.
Testamentary trust.
Testamentary
trust.
Yeah. I need to go to English class. Now, why is it called that?
Because when people die with a will, it's called dying testate. So
okay.
It's a testate will that comes alive when you pass away, and your will is now the living document.
Well, that's excellent. So this quarter was all about where there's a will, there is a way. And it's a way of making this money go to the people you love and care about. That's the key to winning in retirement, is making sure you use it for as long as you can, and then it goes to your family the way you want it to be. At Acres Financial Group, we call this your financial fingerprint, where everything you talk about in your finances are designed based on your goals and objectives. Acres Financial Group, a group of certified financial planner practitioners, sit down and talk to you about your plan and then take your financial fingerprint. That's where you are. And then we implement across all the things you need to do. It's so easy to begin your planning. All you got to do is give us a call at 833-WIN-RETIRE and schedule an in-person or Zoom meeting with one of our team of advisors. That's 833-WIN-RETIRE, 833-946-7384. The true power of attorney is the person you trust most. We'll talk about how important that is in just a moment.
You're listening to a pre-recorded show. Welcome back to Winning in Retirement. Call 833-WIN-RETIRE now to schedule a visit with Brian and his team and begin winning in retirement. Once again, here's Brian Akers.
Welcome back to Winning in Retirement. I'm Brian Akers, certified financial planner practitioner from Akers Financial Group. I'm a financial advisor, and so is most of my company. Our goal is to do financial planning for you and to become your advisor, helping you accomplish what you need to in your own financial plan. Part of that planning is estate planning. The show today is called Estate Planning 101. Now, this doesn't cover everything. It doesn't even cover anything in great detail except for the need and trying to give you the basic explanation of the aspects of estate planning. So we brought in an expert. Ashley Rout is here from Brush Rout Law. I'm sorry, I almost messed up totally, didn't I?
It's okay. Brush Rout. You wouldn't be the first. You won't be the last.
I was making it into one word. So Brush Rout Law out from Bel Air, Maryland. Ashley is actually a professor, two classes each semester at Stevenson University, and covers a lot of different specialties when it comes to law. And she's done a lot of work with our clients over the years when it comes to estate planning and estate planning design, from the simple to the very complex. What we're trying to do in the show today is not to make it too complex where you're scared of it, to where you're so disappointed in planning for estate planning that you don't get anything done at all. Our goal is the fact that you hear it and you understand you need it, and then you do something about it. And that is, you give us a call. You can go to our website, acresfinancialgroup.com, contact us, and then we'll get you all the information you need to get you started working with us and with Ashley when it comes to your estate plan. All right, this second quarter is called, our second half of the show, we're starting out with the true power of attorney is the person you trust most. You ready to go, Ashley?
I am ready.
All right, so power of attorney, what is it? What is that?
A power of attorney is a document that basically anything that you can do for yourself financially, your agent can do for you if you're incompetent or if you just don't feel like doing it. And what I mean by that is, I have some older clients that go into assisted living or a senior community, and they just don't feel like paying their bills anymore. So they make someone else, one of their children usually, responsible for paying.
So they make their power of attorney like active. How do they do that? Just write a piece of paper?
No. So your power of attorney is actually able to be used the moment that you sign it.
Okay.
So we don't, what my partner Kevin and I do is we do not do something called a springing power of attorney, which means that you have to prove that the person's incompetent in order for the power of attorney to be used. It's much easier to just make it effective immediately. Therefore, we don't have to wait for doctors or anything else to certify that the person's incompetent. We can just start using it immediately, and that makes a smoother transition.
But it also means that power of attorney has power from day one, right?
Correct. However, they need to have the original power of attorney. So when you come in, we provide you with three original powers of attorney. We keep one as a just in case. You take home two originals with you. So the person that is going to act for you, unless you give them one of the originals or both of the originals, they're not going to be able to act right away. They're going to need to know where your documents are. And that's kind of what's going to happen there.
Original, you're meaning the original wet signature, like blue ink is what you said earlier?
Yes, and this one is actually notarized.
Notarized, okay.
So that's why the banks want to see it.
With the fancy emboss thing?
Where
they grip it and everything?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And that's where you have your power of attorney notarized, and you pick. The goal is to pick someone you absolutely trust. Now, people struggle with that decision.
Yes, people struggle with that decision. And we see this happen all the time. Usually you appoint your spouse and then maybe your children. But, you know, we see it happen where someone is widowed or they never were married or, you know, whatever the situation may be. And that's where you rely on your estate planner to assist you with directing you to the correct person that's going to be taking care of your finances. And, you know, it's not out of the ordinary for Kevin or myself to serve as a backup power of attorney for someone that just, you know, they were married, but they don't have any kids. So we're the ones in charge. Mm-hmm. You know, it has to be somebody that you very much trust and that you know isn't going to use the power of attorney inappropriately.
Not using the power for evil.
Correct, which I see those cases sometimes.
Absolutely, especially if they, mom would have wanted me to spend the money this way.
Or would have wanted me to get all the money instead of my siblings.
Right.
Those are my favorite.
Now, the idea of the parent trying to decide between the kids, and then they say to you, I'll just put all of them on.
I hate when that happens.
Okay, so what do you do?
So I strongly encourage them to get it down to two people.
Yeah.
But sometimes they just don't listen. And what's going to end up happening is they all fight. And there's no way around that if the parents are going to be that stubborn. But I do tell them that, you know, banks take these instruments very seriously. So if I have more than one person named, even if I say that they can act independently of one another, banks have been sued so many times that they will probably make both people act at the same time. Meaning what usually convinces the client to not do it this way is I will say, do you really want to have all four of your kids signing each check that we have to write out of your account? And they look at me and they're like, no, that would be bad. They would have to be traveling with checks everywhere. So that's kind of how I avoid it. That's the
right,
you know, easiest way for me to explain how cumbersome it would be if more than one person is appointed.
Right. So as you're saying this, your eye is twitching. So I can feel that there's a couple of cases that you've had to
many,
do this where you've had
many.
To explain to them, please don't do this to us.
It's really, really bad because then, you know, notoriously one of the children call and say, why did you let my parents do this? And it's, I told your parents that this was going to be a problem, but they couldn't make a decision.
All right. So let's say we have kids and the kids, you have one kid in Maryland, one kid in Arizona, one kid in Florida. Does it matter where they live to be your power of attorney?
No. I mean, now that everything is done electronically, you know, and can be done online, it doesn't really matter. I will say that, you know, the person has to be accessible because, you know, bills need to be paid and everything needs to be gone about timely. Where it becomes an issue is when someone is someone else's medical power of attorney agent. When they're making medical decisions, I would say you really don't want to have somebody in a different time zone just because you may not get the fastest medical decisions made for you.
That sounds reasonable.
Right. So I have had a few clients that, you know, they trust both of their children, but one child lives in California and one child lives,
right,
you know, on this coast, and they've picked the child on this coast. But we've listed both children, but they're able to act independently of one another because we know that the other daughter is in California and may be late to the show. So, you know, it's just things that you need to think about. Financial power of attorney, I don't get too worked up about someone being out of state just because, you know, we're able to navigate that. As long as we don't have multiple people in multiple states trying to manage one person's finances, when you have too many hands in the pot, things get a little bit messed up.
Absolutely. So we're talking about the true power of attorney is a person you trust most. That's what this quarter subject is about, is power of attorney and setting it up and having that person be in charge. Now, a power of attorney is different than an executor.
Yes.
How is it different?
So your power of attorney and your advanced medical directive, those are documents that are alive while you're alive. They die when you die.
Okay.
And so the power of attorney and the advanced medical directive, those people who are appointed only act while you're incompetent, while you're living. An executor takes over once you pass away.
Sure. That makes sense. Now, there's power of attorney, and now people think they can just get it off the internet.
Not a good idea.
Or they've had one from the 1990s. Is there certain rules of thumb on when you need to redo or
right,
basically do a power of attorney?
Right. So One, the easiest thing that I can tell you is that effective October 1st, 2010, the power of attorney law changed. So if you have a power of attorney that is dated prior to October 1st, 2010, you need to have it updated because the banks have the power to not accept it as a legal power of attorney because the law changed. So that's the first thing. The second thing is you should not get it online. Reason being is this. Our document in the state of Maryland, there are cases that say that if the power is not included in the power of attorney, so if any action is not included in the power of attorney, then that agent does not have the authority to do it. So our power of attorney is very long, whereas the ones that you will find online are very short.
Right.
They are also missing the gifting provisions, which means that we could have a power of attorney, but if there's no gifting provisions in there, we cannot get the person eligible for Medicaid, meaning that we cannot move around assets to save money so that the government pays for your nursing home care instead of you paying for your nursing home care.
Yeah, so it's all very, very important to have an attorney involved. And when you talk about your team of people to be experts to help you with financial planning. So the lawyer is helping with the power of attorney. Now, there's a thing called a healthcare agent. Is that a separate person than the power of attorney?
It can be the same person, but they're separate documents. So one is a power of attorney document that just handles your finances while you're alive. The other is an advanced medical directive that handles all of your medical decisions while you're alive. Sometimes people pick the same people. Sometimes they pick different. They're two separate documents, and one is in charge of making medical decisions for you, and the other is in charge of making financial decisions for you. And what's really important is if you don't have these documents, I can't reiterate this enough, if you do not have these documents, the alternative is very expensive. If you don't have the documents, you will have to go through a guardianship process that costs a couple thousand dollars, whereas an estate planning package will cost you much less. So it's not a good process, and you have to go through the court system.
Yeah, so estate planning package would have a medical power of attorney, a financial power of attorney, and a will or a trust.
Absolutely.
All designed, put together.
Absolutely.
The hardest part for me is to get clients to understand that they just have to do it, and they need to do it based on what's going on in their life right now.
Correct.
Is there any simple way you get them to do things right away?
Because I tell them, if not, then they're going to spend a lot of money and they may not be happy with the result, or a lot of their money is going to be spent right away to get a guardian appointed that they may not want to have appointed. And therefore, they need to make the decision now, because what's going to happen as a result of them not having anything is much worse.
Absolutely. So Ashley Rout from Bress Rout Law out of Bel Air, Maryland, is here with us today doing estate planning 101. The best part of doing retirement planning or winning in retirement is really understanding that your finances are the way you want them to be. There are many hard decisions that we must make to make sure that we're doing a proper plan. Imagine that as you passed away tomorrow, how would you want things to be handled? That's why you have to have an attorney come in, go through your personal finances, and design what's best for you and your family. So begin planning now by calling us at Acres Financial Group at 833-WIN-RETIRE. That's 833-WINRETIRE. We'll give you a call on Monday to schedule your free in-person or Zoom meeting. So go to acresfinancialgroup.com and schedule your meeting right there. Do you know who your beneficiaries are? We will tell you why you should when we return in the fourth quarter.
You're listening to a pre-recorded show. Welcome back to Winning in Retirement. Call 833-WIN-RETIRE now to schedule a visit with Brian and his team and begin winning in retirement. Once again, here's Brian Akers.
Indeed, welcome back to Winning in Retirement. I'm Brian Akers. Today's special guest has been Ashley Rout from the Bress Rout Law Firm of Bel Air, Maryland. We've been talking estate planning 101. Now, I'm Brian Akers, certified financial planner practitioner from Akers Financial Group. We do full-service financial planning. We implement and everything else, but we are not lawyers. What we do is we bring in lawyers to help us with our clients with their needs on estate planning. So, Ashley, here we are in the fourth quarter of Winning in Retirement, and we want people to win because all of their documents and things are taken care of, then they can go live their life and everything else is just ready in case life ends. All right, so estate planning 101, not everyone's favorite topic, but it is your favorite, right, Ashley?
Correct.
All right. Are you sure?
I'm sure it is. It's a great topic.
All right. And I think that's wonderful. But here in the fourth quarter, we're going to try to wrap up the show. If you want to hear the show again, you go to acresfinancialgroup.com. You hit the radio tab. And under the radio tab, what you'll do is select the show. This one we call Estate Planning 101. You can hear parts of it again so you can make sure you understand some of the topics. Then you just give us a call. In the fourth quarter, we're talking about beneficiaries, beneficiaries of your accounts and beneficiaries of your wills or even trusts. Do you know who your beneficiaries are? I think it's a very important topic. What's your opinion on this concept?
It's very important. And, you know, I have to say that one of the things that I even teach my students is about beneficiary designations. And what some people don't understand is that an estate plan may not work if your beneficiary designations do not match your will. And so what I mean by that is that if you have a beneficiary on something, then that trumps your will. Mm-hmm. And some people don't understand that. So I have set up very nice trusts to under people's wills that protect their children. But then the person passes away and I find out that they left beneficiary designations individually to their children, meaning that their children all get the cash and there's nothing that goes in the trust. So they don't have any protection.
That's why when you meet with Acres Financial Group, with one of our financial advisors, we want to check all your beneficiaries in writing from every company, the bank, insurance companies, your investments. Understand what beneficiaries are set up or if there is not one. To understand if your estate plan is actually going to work or not, depending on how the estate is going to flow when it comes to your beneficiary selections.
And another really important beneficiary issue that I've seen many times, unfortunately, and as a divorce attorney, I'm very cognizant of it. And I think that gives me an advantage as a divorce attorney because I can have the full picture of estate planning as well. But when someone passes away, if their ex-wife or ex-husband is listed as beneficiary on their account, they get that money. Mm-hmm. Some people forget when they get divorced, they're just like taking a big breath of fresh air and they're like, oh, I'm done. You're not. Not if your ex-spouse is still named as beneficiary designation. You pass away and they're still going to get the money.
Yeah. Now, this is a weird question. So in the state of Maryland, is there an inheritance tax for the ex-spouse since they're no longer married?
Yes, 10%.
So the 10%, but they still get the rest of the money. Just 10%
Correct.
Goes to the state of Maryland.
Correct.
All right. So I've had a case where we're doing the 401k. We're looking at the 401k and seeing what's on. And we bring it up. And then they say, oh, yeah, we got married 3 or 4 years ago. And I said, well, let's check out your 401k. We log in and we check out. I click beneficiaries. And he goes, oh, I've never done that. And we bring up and it's his ex-spouse is on there.
So
the current spouse was not happy with that person.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure. But with a 401k, I think what might happen with that is I think that the current spouse has to sign a waiver in order for someone else to be appointed as beneficiary.
Yeah, once they're married, they have to do that. But the hard part is some people don't even
think about it.
You don't care to notice.
Right.
It's just sad.
Right.
So the thing is this, you need to check your beneficiaries. Banks change names, get bought out all the time. How are their records? Do they have the right records for you? So get a copy and check your beneficiaries. You call the companies where your money is. Ask them to send a letter confirming your beneficiaries. That'd be a great place to start. Now, on beneficiaries, it's a very, very important topic for estate planning. Now, you were saying that beneficiary trumps wills and trusts. So what should a beneficiary say if we wanted to go through a will or a trust?
So if we want it, in particular, for it to go through the will, there are two options, really. One, you can have the beneficiary be your estate, and then it goes through the estate, and it ultimately flows through to the trust, the testamentary trust created under your will. Or if you want to skip over the probate process, what you do is you name the trust, you literally say, and what I typically do is I give you a piece of paper that tells you exactly how to write your beneficiary designations, but it says trustees under will of the testamentary trust under will dated such and such. Mm-hmm. And so that means that it directly pours into the trust under your will and you don't have to open up a probate.
Now, we do this with accounts that are at banks, accounts that are jointly held or used to be jointly held, individually held. Usually retirement accounts, we try not to do this unless the contingent beneficiary is a minor or yep. someone that needs special needs.
Correct.
And so typically then we'd reference the trust.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then the trust would allow that person to take the money out over the proper distribution method now.
Correct. And, you know, you have many choices when it comes to trustees. So really, the trust under your will is just providing protection of those funds for your beneficiary. And they can take it as much as they want or as little as they want and preserve it for your next generation.
All right. So check your beneficiaries. Just at the last few minutes of the show today, I wanted to just the topic of revocable living trust. And are they something someone should always buy a living trust, or should they just stick with wills? There are a lot of people marketing trust out there, and the proper use of them is more where my question is.
Sure. So, my partner Kevin and I, we really recommend revocable trusts for two real reasons. And one is you need a revocable trust if you have property outside of the state of Maryland and you are still, your domicile, meaning where you live, where you file taxes, is Maryland, then we need to put the out-of-state property in your Maryland revocable trust to avoid having probate in two states. And where that saves you money is because when you pass away, your family does not need to hire an attorney in the state of Florida to administer an estate to transfer your piece of real property to whoever it goes to, and hire a Maryland attorney to handle your affairs here in Maryland. So that avoids that. That's the first thing.
And the second one is?
The second one is if you have a blended family. And what I mean by that is if you are in a second marriage, either you or your spouse or both of you, the only way that I can guarantee that your spouse or yourself don't change the disposition of where the assets go upon either one of your deaths is to put everything in a revocable trust that becomes irrevocable, meaning can't be changed upon the first spouse's death. And that really locks in that, you know, both spouses' children are taken care of.
And what's the third reason?
The third reason would be to avoid probate.
And the fourth reason?
I don't have a fourth reason.
I was going to keep going and see how many you had there. So incapacity and disability, is that a good reason to have a trust? Or is a power of attorney good enough?
A power of attorney would be better. Okay. You know, a revocable trust, a common misconception is that it provides you extra tax savings and it provides you extra liability protection. It does not. It goes by your own social security number. There is no advantage to having a revocable trust for those reasons that are kind of sold sometimes.
Now, avoidance of probate also avoids the public notice of probate.
Correct.
So if you have your own private business, having a trust own the shares helps people from seeing the financial dealings. Is that fair to say?
That is fair to say. And you know, some of our business owners that we represent do have trusts for that reason. However, it's important for everyone to understand that if it's a probate process, you know, it's not that when I pass away that you are going to go into the courthouse and see all of my assets and what they're worth. You have to actually go online and pay like 50 cents a page to find this.
To get
a copy. Not to say people won't do it, but.
Well, people do it with Elvises out of Memphis.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. It's very fascinating stuff.
Yeah. You ever read the articles about different famous, especially singers, so when they pass away, they have no estate planning?
Correct. Yeah.
What's your general feeling about those articles?
Well, I think that they just didn't think that they were ever going to die.
Yeah.
And they just, you know, oftentimes when you represent bigger name people, I've represented a lot of athletes, and they don't know who to turn to for the proper advice. So right. You have to really focus on making a good relationship. And unfortunately for a lot of the famous people, they don't have people in their life that they can fully trust to give good, sound advice because they've been burned in the past. So,
And that's the key thing, is having someone that you can trust to handle these aspects. Because a financial planning, estate planning, is about having advisors that you trust and people you trust to implement your will, implement your trust, implement your power of attorney, your medical power, to be there when you need the most. That's all very, very important things. Now, today's talk has been Estate Planning 101 with Ashley Rout from Breast Rout in Bel Air, Maryland. As we've been talking today, we're just talking a lot of different topics. We're not really giving exact advice on what to do, except for one thing, is that you need to do it. You need to have a will or a trust, and at least have the talk about what is the right documents for you. What kind of advice would you give people that are listening?
To not run away from having the uncomfortable conversations, because if you do not come in and get some help to get your affairs in order, you will create a bigger mess for your family while they're going through, you know, probably some of the toughest times.
Right. They're dealing that you passed away, and then they got to deal with all the legal documents. And then if there is fighting between anybody or anybody that you didn't even think of that would want to fight against the setup of what's going on with the estate plan. Well, I do appreciate your time today.
Thank you for having me. I know our listeners
appreciate that also. Thank you very much for what you do for our clients, and we really appreciate it. Thank you very much for coming on the show. We also thank you guys for out there for listening to our show today. Today's show has been called Estate Planning 101. You can go to our website at acresfinancialgroup.com, and you can scroll down on the schedule a meeting anytime you like right there on our website. Also, you can click the radio tab and find out more about their different shows. You can hear them again right there. Now, that's acresfinancialgroup.com, or you can, of course, give us a call at 833-WIN-RETIRE. That's 833-WINRETIRE. We'll give you a call on Monday to schedule your free in-person or Zoom meeting with one of our team of advisors. Start planning now for your retirement. Go to acresfinancialgroup.com or call us at 833-946-7384. Thank you for listening. I'm Brian Akers from Akers Financial Group, and we want you to be winning in retirement.
You've been listening to Winning in Retirement with your host, Brian Akers of Akers Financial Group. Akers Financial Group offers securities through Arcadios Capital, an SIPC and FINRA member firm. Advisory services are provided through Arcadios Wealth. Akers Financial Group and Arcadios do not share any common ownership. Neither Arcadios nor Akers Financial Group provides tax or legal advice. Advice given on Winning in Retirement is general in nature, and one should seek further advice from their financial advisor, broker, attorney, and or tax accountant before investing. Be sure to read each prospectus carefully to understand all the risks associated with each investment. Examples and scenarios shared are meant to be for illustrative purposes only. Past performance is not indicative of future results.